season, all sorts of stuff. But on the 1st of January, it's one of the funny ones that I remember, besides some other funny ones, Mr. Reese. the 1st of January comes and says, gee, I remember 2019 like it was yesterday. Oh. So I trust you had a good festive time period with your family celebrating the fact that Jesus was given to us as a gift. And may your best of 2019 be your worst of 2020 in Jesus' name. I pray that it's an awesome year. People start this time of the year making all sorts of New Year's resolutions. And hierdie is die jaar. Hierdie jaar gaan 'n groot ding gebeur. En dan verander hulle niks in hulle lewens nie. Well, I've got news for you. Unless you get off your blessed assurance and make some changes, nothing's going to change in your life. Change, I'm not a prophet of doom, I'm just speaking factually and truthfully to you. Is that okay? Change isn't change until there's change. And if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. But if you want what you've never had, you're going to have to do what you've never done. So you got to make the change. Can you say amen? So think about the changes that you want to make and realize, say to yourself in front of the mirror, myself, I'm going to make these changes. Okay, are we agreed? Hallelujah. But it's great to see you all, and I just pray God's richest blessing over all of you. How many of you have heard of prosperity preachers? How many of you have heard bad things about them? And people, well, guess what? I'm a prosperity preacher. I'm a prosperity preacher, but the prosperity according to 3 John 2, it says, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And you know, this is very deep. It takes 7 years of Bible studying to get a theological degree to understand the meaning of this. When it says all things there, do you know what it means? Hallelujah. That's deep, eh? So that's my prayer for you, that you really prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that you can be a blessing to other people because you are blessed. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles with me, or your tablets, or your phones, or some electronic device, or your actual physical Bible, turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, the 11th verse of the 5th chapter, Romans chapter 5. And verse 11. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. So this parent is busy, while you're looking that up, busy teaching their child about the things of God and what the scriptures teach. And the parent reads the history of Israel and says, the children of Israel did this, and the children of Israel did that, and the children of Israel did this, and the child is fascinated. And at the end, the child says, but Dad, what did the adults do if the children of Israel were doing all of this stuff? So as the children of God, if you're at Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. NLT reads as follows. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Some translation says reconciliation. We can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. This morning, Father, I thank you that we can come to you and just be ourselves. I thank you that we don't have to dress fancy or put on a pretense. If we want to dress fancy, that is cool. If we want to be casual, that's cool. What's important to you is the condition and the attitude of our hearts. And Father, no matter what image we project to those who see us, you really know what's going on inside of us. And I thank you that in spite of all of that, Lord God, you love us endlessly. And that's encouraging to hear. This morning, Lord, we're not here to perform some religious duty or to play church or to impress any person. We're here because we love you. We're grateful for what you have done for us, Lord Jesus. And we come to celebrate. But also, Lord, to allow you, Holy Spirit, to speak into our hearts, to challenge us, Lord God, to correct us and to teach us and to show us how we should live. So we present ourselves to you this morning, Lord God. We want you, Father, by your Spirit, would you do open heart surgery on our spirits? With no anesthetic, that we're aware of what you're doing, Lord, that we realize what we've got to let go of and realize what we need to embrace, Father. We spoke about change, Lord. We want to leave here changed today, different in somehow, with a new desire to live on purpose for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture encourages us with the fact that we can rejoice in our new relationship because of what Jesus Christ has done. He's made us friends of God. 43 or 44 years ago, I was 43 or 44 years younger. And I grew up, I had a hectic family life. Physically, we were provided for. We lived in, we were like a middle to lower income home. So physically, we lacked nothing. We had everything except the things we didn't have. But spiritually, it was hell. Some of you, it went right over your head, but you'll get it. Just repeat it to yourself and eventually it will sink in. Spiritually, it was hell on earth. I had a terrible, 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 spiritually depraved childhood. I was exposed to religion for the first time at about 10 years old and experienced a little bit of it through growing up. But spiritually, our family life was disastrous. It was really, I never wanted it again. And that, and amongst other things, it drove me to the point of suicide where I ended up giving my life to Jesus. And on one particular occasion, our family would always fight. It would always be an absolute abuse of alcohol and drugs and debauchery and gambling weekends, and it was absolutely horrific, and that was the norm. It was rampant abuse of alcohol. It was absolutely terrible. And on one particular occasion, there was a family fight. And when I say a family fight, I'm talking about the family fight where the blood spot and walls are knocked over. Glasses broken, things are thrown at each other, shots are fired, and I'm not exaggerating. That was our family life. And on that particular occasion, I remember, I was 43 or 44 years younger, so 6 or 7 thereabouts, and you watch this happening. Do you know what that does to a child? It's like, ooh, 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 something like, remember pinball machines? And if you play that thing too hard, what did the machine do? It would tilt. I tilted. Watching that go down, it was terrible. It was terrible. And our family was fragmented and torn apart even more than it ever was. And month after month after month went by, where in every home there was this animosity and this bitterness and this heaviness and this anger. Everybody experienced that, was exposed to that. It was absolutely terrible. And then Christmas of the following year, an amazing restoration took place. Without any words being spoken, family members came to the homes of other family members. And without speaking, they came towards each other and they embraced each other and hugged each other. And I don't remember whether they asked for forgiveness or whatever, but I just knew that peace was made amongst them again. And we had some form of normality in our family. And guess how they celebrated? With more drinking. It's like, I say this respectfully and as lovingly as I can. I've buried some people that have lost their lives in motor vehicles. Let's just have a broad spectrum here so that nobody feels I'm pointing fingers. They lost their lives because of the abuse of alcohol. And at the wake of their funeral, how do they celebrate it? The process and the cycle starts all over again. But the positive that I took out of that and learned several years down the line is that somehow there was restoration and there was reconciliation without a word being spoken. And that Hebrews 5 and verse 11, it says there that because of what Jesus Christ has done, we are now friends of God again. And the New King James says, uses the word reconciliation. And that's, huh? Yeah. What did I say? Sorry. Thank you, Nikki. Romans 5:11 in the New King James says, reconciliation. Reconciliation took place and the family had a semblance of normality again. And many, 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 many years later, one oak got born again. And then the next person, and then the next person, and the next person. And change started to take place in that family because of reconciliation that took place. And that's what I want to share this morning. I like, how many of you, if you're feeling like a brave this morning? Nobody brave enough to put your hand up. That's fine. Sean, okay. Sean, come here, my bro. I want to use you as an example, please. I want you to get this picture, which I'm going to show you now. No, don't come up. I need you down there for a reason. I need you to get this picture. Please, if this is what you've learned in a church or by somebody, or this whole thing about God and Jesus and heaven and hell and sin and forgiveness has been painted to you like this, I want to tell you this morning, it's not like that. Christianity is not this. It's not this God pointing fingers, wanting to highlight what is wrong in your life because He knows what's wrong. He doesn't want to highlight it in your life. You know, wie van julle het iemand nodig om vir jou te vertel waar jy droog maak in jou lewe? Hello? Ons weet. So Christianity is not this pointing fingers. The scripture says in James chapter 2 and verse 13, mercy triumphs over judgment. So if you see the scales of everything the scripture says between Genesis and MAPS, where there's justice that God demands because He's a just and fair God, and mercy on scales, it's not going to stay like that. The judgment is going to be outweighed by the mercy. The judgment is going to be outweighed by the mercy. The Bible says so. So this is not Christianity. Christianity is this, a God coming from His high heaven down to earth and saying, not this, but this. Come, I want you to be my friend. Yes, you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Christianity. And that's the good news that God wants to share with us this morning. The scripture goes on to say that God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Our ministry is not one. Hey, yo muku, you're a slag somebody, man. Hoekom doen jy dit? Hoekom doen jy daai? Hoekom doen jy die? You're a this and you're a that. You know what you're doing? That's the devil's role. One of his names is he's the accuser of the brethren. The last thing the world needs is another Christian to come and accuse them of the things that the devil is accusing them of. What the world needs is somebody to say, I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. I see you struggling with this. Can I share with you what Jesus has done for me? Come, let me help you and let's walk this thing through together. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the essence of Christianity. And this message title this morning is called Friends of God. We're friends of God, and that's the place that God wants us to be in. Okay? Isaiah 1 and verse 18, God gives us this written invitation. He extends this invitation. It's like an invite, and He says, come now. Let's settle this. Let's deal with the elephant in the room. It's like everybody knows the situation, but nobody really wants to say anything about it. He says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. Now guys, you know, things are so different today than in those times. I was going to say biblical times, but we're living in biblical times. We're busy writing the book of Acts. Hello. And prophecies being fulfilled. Hallelujah. So these are biblical times. But it says, though your sins are like scarlet, colors were very difficult to make in those days. The deep reds and the purples were costly and expensive and hard to make. And once they were there, they were there. And that's why this is the language that it uses. It says, it's not like your sins are like this light pink hue. No, your sins are like scarlet. A deep, dark, vivid red. I will make them white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Somehow along the line, every single one of us, to a greater or a lesser degree, and in different ways, have drifted away from the Lord. Some people are so low and down in the dumps, they can fly a kite under the carpet. En wie wat? Hulle weet het. Some other people, like me, are so high on the shelf of self-righteousness that they're like out of touch. It's like God and then them. Maybe like them and then God. Wherever you are in life, wherever you see yourself, somehow, every one of us have drifted away from the truth. Folks, if you encounter somebody that feels in some way that they're not affected by sin, all it means is this, that they're living according to their own standards and not God's. Everybody somehow is affected by sin. If a person feels that they're not in any way affected by sin, they're living according to their own standards and not God's. Want as ons onsself meet volgens die standaarde van God, nobody makes it. Nobody makes it. That is why we have to pay particular attention when God says, come, let's discuss this. Let's settle this thing. Though your sin is like scarlet and red like crimson, I will wash you, make you white as snow, pure and clean again. Somehow we've all drifted away. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 6 says, speaking about Jesus, it's a messianic prophecy, a prophecy about Jesus the Messiah. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, please repeat with me, all of us, let's do that again, all of us, that's right, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. And yet the Lord laid on him, that's Jesus, the sins of us all. That's describing what happened to Jesus. So simply, the focus point is we've all drifted away like sheep. And if you notice what sheep are created to be led. It's not by chance that God uses, he says, all we like wolves have done our own thing. Or all we like lions. Or we like eagles. No, all we like sheep. You know, when a sheep is lost, speak to any sheep farmer, they'll confirm what I'm saying. When a sheep is lost, it doesn't even try and find its way back. Hy so verboureerd en die oomblik is letterlik te groot vir hom. It does not even try and find his way back. He will stay there until he dies of starvation, dehydration, or whatever. What has to happen? A shepherd has to leave the 99 and go and look for that one sheep. And God, ladies and gentlemen, is our shepherd. That's what he'd done. He left the 99, so to speak, of heaven. And he came down from heaven to say, in the scripture in Isaiah 6, it says, who can we send? Who will go for us? And I will go, Lord, send me. Jesus is like, I'll do it. I'll pay the price for these people. Even though so many of them will reject me, so many will say, no, I don't want him. I want nothing to do with this. I'm going to do it. It takes a shepherd to leave the 99 to come and find that one lost sheep. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and looked for us? Aren't you glad that God saw the condition of mankind and said, I'm going to come and I'm going to fix this for them. I'm going to fulfill this. Come. Let's talk about this. Though your sins are like it, and what's beautiful is like we didn't have to fix ourselves before God was willing to accept us. He accepted us, warts and all. Met al ons ploeie, al ons issues, ons stinkvoete, ons stink awesome. He accepted us like that. Hallelujah. That's this God. But we've all gone astray. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glorious standard. So what do we do? What do we do then? How do we respond to this context, to this invitation? I'm going to try and create a picture for you this morning, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will color it in. There, it's easy to read Isaiah 1 and verse 18 says, come now, let's discuss this. Though you're sinful, I want to wash you clean and I want to make things okay with you. But this is the picture. This is the context in which that scripture is given to us this morning. Are you ready to let your imagination run wild? Use your imagination. If you don't have one, imagine that you've got one. Hallelujah. I thank you that we can just talk like family this morning. I love coming to church. I love you. I love everybody. You're next. Okay. Imagine that you're in the most relaxed possible setting. Nothing's bugging you. Nothing's stressing you out. If you're any more relaxed, you'd slip into a coma. I mean, you're chilled, like super, super chilled. You're really, really mellow. There's no deadlines. There's nobody driving you to perform anything or do anything. It's no pressure whatsoever to perform or do anything. And then with the most gracious and generous of hosts. Some people, according to Scripture, have the gift of hospitality. You just feel welcome. They don't necessarily have to put up a spread, but they often do. They're welcoming and inviting people. You see it on their face, and they quickly recognize your love language, and they minister to you according to your love language, and you just feel so right at home in their presence. And imagine your host is like that, inviting you to the most welcoming atmosphere that you can imagine, saying this to you, come and enjoy as much as what you want to. It is all mine, therefore it is all yours. Help yourself to everything that I have, all at no expense to you. How does that feel? Ladies and gentlemen, that is not this. That is this. And that's the context in which God is saying this. I want you as my friend. He's not a king that is looking for subjects to boost his ego so that he can look good amongst other kings and have bragging rights at the size of his kingdom. That's not this God. This God is the King of Kings. Like Renee says, he's Kokolol, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's this God. He has no low self-esteem or bad self-image issues. None of that stuff. He knows who he is. In fact, he says, I am who I am. And we know he's not Afrikaans. Because if he was Afrikaans, and Moses said to him, Lord, what do I say to Pharaoh? God would have said, Tell Pharaoh, I is for Lord to your God. He didn't say, I is for Lord to your God. He said to him, I am who I am. That's who I am. I'm not the I was. Don't take that personally, please. Okay. God speaks any language, right? He's not the I will be, or I'm going to be, or I'm becoming. He's I am. I am. Hallelujah. That's who it is. And it's this God that says, this gracious host that knows you, understands you, loves you, makes everything that is his available to you and says, come, it's yours. That's what God wants from us, folks. Not subjects, friends. Think about this. He washed the feet of the one who'd sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And he called all of his disciples friends. That's this God. Are you getting this? When you go into 2020 and you think about your walk with God and where you are, maybe you're feeling you're living far from God, or there's no hope for you. I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. There's this God that's saying, come. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, he's made us friends of God. There's been reconciliation. Like that family reunion where they got together, they weren't cell phones or anything. Nobody was phoning each other. They just walked into each other's homes. And there was reconciliation without a word being spoken before that. Jesus Christ has had the last say at the cross of Calvary when he said, it is finished. So that we can be friends of God this morning. That's my encouragement to you. I don't care what you've done. There's no sin that cannot be erased by the precious blood of Jesus. There's no sin that the precious blood of Jesus cannot erase. And that's this God inviting you this morning. Why this invitation? Yeah, but Mozzie, why? And how come? Guys, I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. Sometimes. There's things about, I mean, walking with God for a short while in terms of eternity, and there's still some things that are a mystery to me. All I know is this, that in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the spoken word of God. I think it's verse 3 it says that. It doesn't say we understand and therefore we believe. No, no, no. There's a specific order. By faith we understand. Choose to believe God at His word. Choose to believe that this morning God is saying, come. 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 Wherever you are, whatever you've done, friends, that's what I'm looking for. We then grow to become sons and daughters of God to represent the family name. So why this invitation, you may ask? Why is God like this? Well, this is the reason. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. This is a message through the prophet Isaiah to the people, Jeremiah, I apologize, to the people of Israel, but we can apply it to our lives. But I have loved you. God is using a person, a mere man this morning to say to you, I have loved you. I love you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. Psalm 103 and verse 12. He has removed our sins far from us as the east is from the west. He's removed our sins from us. And Jesus gives us this written invitation. Isaiah 1 and verse 18, God says, come, let's talk about this. Fast forward a couple of years to the New Testament. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Some of you have just come back from holiday and you feel like you need another one. And we're not even at the 6th of January and you're full all clear. Maybe your transition into the new year was a tough, painful, hurtful, difficult one. I don't know. My brother, my sister, God does. God does. When people don't get you, God does. He has you. He has you. I think a bit comes to my mind. So why? Because He made you. He made you. That's why He understands you. He knows that our frames are but dust. At our best, we are a vapor. I love cold water. It's my favorite drink. And oftentimes when I drink water, it's like I'm drinking it for the first time every time. It's like, I don't know. That's just me. When I drink it sometimes, and I keep my mouth open, I don't suck or sip, like, because my mouth is hot. You see the water vapor. How many of you have seen that? I don't know. Is it just me? You see the water vapor. And sometimes I try and recreate it again, but then my mouth is cooled down and it's not the same effect. So it's that first effect where it's like the smoke, like special effects. That vapor, I can't recreate and can't capture. It's like as quickly as it's there, so quickly it goes. That's us. But you know, here's the amazing thing. Out of everything He's created, we're still His best. We're Rudy, you God's favorite Rudy. You're His favorite Rudy, but in all of everything, you're His favorite Rudy. Lydia, you're God's favorite Lydia. There's not another Lydia like you. Zane, Brandon, Zane, I don't know which. God knows. You're His Brandon. Zane. Ah! You're God's favorite Zane. You're God's favorite Brandon. There's not another like you. And for every single one of you, if I've forgotten your name, peace. Pit, quit, Sonny, sorry, Mary, my brother, my sister. You are God's favorite you. So don't think it's strange when you have this written invitation. That's why we have this invitation. That's why in the New Testament Jesus said, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And all of this, and I close with this, in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him doesn't have to perish, but can have and enjoy everlasting life. And folks, that's God's invitation to us this morning, to be friends with God. If the enemy has accused you of something and you feel, Mozzie, I don't deserve it, guess what? You're right. You don't deserve it. Like me, I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God doesn't give us things because we deserve it. God gives us things because he loves us. And if you want to be part of that, if you want to say, I'm not talking about heaven or hell. Okay, let's just put that aside this morning. You say, oh, I want to be friends with this God. I want to be friends with this God that loves me and gets me and always has my best interest at heart. If that is you this morning, I'm not going to call anybody to the front, so relax. If that is you, raise your hand. You want to say, Lord, I want to be friends with you. Anybody, anybody. His hand's going up everywhere. Let's put our hands down again. Father, I thank you that you're a heavenly Father. That is why, Jesus, you taught us to pray like that. You didn't say that we must come and say, our judge who is in heaven, or the creator who is angry at us in heaven. You taught us to pray and say, our Father. And Jesus, because of what you have done, you've made it possible for us to be friends of God again. And we've got written invitations, Lord God, extended to every single one of us this morning to say, come now, let's discuss this, shall we? Let's just look at this issue of sin in your life. You can't deal with it. I know you can't. I can, because I paid the price for your sins. So let me wash you clean and make you whole and new again and pure as the driven snow. And we want to respond to that this morning, Lord, for every person that raised their hands, and for those that perhaps wanted to but didn't, Lord, I pray for every one of us this morning. May we respond to you and lean forward this morning as you say, Lord, we want to be friends with you in that respect and give our lives to you as you've given your life to us this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. And in this attitude of prayer, this is the most important time of the service. Now I want to talk about heaven and hell as we continue to pray. If you're not sure in your heart of hearts that if you died right now, you guaranteed beyond any shadow of a doubt, past 100%, that you definitely, definitely will make it to heaven. If you're not sure that you will spend an eternity with God, if there's anybody like that, please raise your hand now. I'd love to pray with you. Anybody like that here this morning? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Once you've raised your hands, you can put your hands down again. Bless you. Thank you for that. Would everybody please stand as we close off with one more song before I pray with everybody one more time before we go. In Jesus' name, I realize today that you died for me. Jesus, I believe in my heart. And I say with my mouth, you are God's Son. I believe that you died for me, that you shed your blood to wash me of my sins. I ask you, God, to please forgive me. I'm sorry for sinning against you. I ask you now to be Lord of my life. From this time, I give you control. I want to be your child. From today, I will live for you and follow you all the days of my life. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give me the strength and the courage to stick to this prayer all the days of my life until you take me home. And so, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. And because I am forgiven, I can know that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to do something very, very special this morning. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time in your life, maybe you've prayed it several times, but you prayed it again this morning and you sincerely meant it. When we sing together, please come forward. There'll be people that will join you here up front to pray with you and help you understand what it is that you've done. We're not going to take your details to get church membership or to get your email address to bug you with spam mail. We just want to make sure that you fully understand what has happened this morning and what it means when you prayed that prayer. Please, we'll just take a few minutes while we sing and close on with a song. I think Raise a Hallelujah or something like that or something else, I don't know. If you prayed that prayer and you'd like somebody to pray with you, in fact, I'd encourage you, please, come forward. People will come and pray with you to help you understand what it is that you prayed about, and we'd love to give you a little book as well to help you understand what has taken place in your life. A small little book called Knowing and Experiencing God, of Ken and Erfar God. We'd love to give you one of those booklets. So when we sing, please make the effort. Take that distance from your chair to come up to the front. The music will play softly so that the person can just pray with you. In fact, we're going to sing hardtop, but the person will just accompany you next door to the hall. They can just talk with you privately, discreetly, personally, and in confidence, and make sure that you get one of those booklets. So please don't leave before you pray with somebody if you prayed that prayer together. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for visiting with us this morning. God bless you. Have an awesome day. And we'll see you same time, same place next week. God bless you. Thank you. Come on, sing song.